to run man high. You can jump for your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, crew members, children, moms, dads, grandparents, and great-grandparents. Yes, everyone, welcome aboard the Kids Canoe. We will be paddling through the waters of the Word of God, looking to various parts of creation that Jesus holds in his hands. So put on your life vest of love and hold fast to your paddle of faith for a great adventure into God's creation. Well, ahoy crew members again, and welcome to the Kids Canoe. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about the importance of remembering, and we were using that as a key part to what we should do as Christians. We need to memorize Scripture, we need to read it, we need to burn it into our hearts and our minds, we need to connect to the mind of God, and that we do that by studying His Word. Well, I wanted to look at the word remember, and I always like to look at the Hebrew because the Hebrew has pictures. It's pictorial Hebrew, and I wanted to go back and take a look at what the word for remember is in Hebrew. And the word is Zachar, Z-A-C-A-R, Zachar. And it's made up of just three letters. One is a Zion. Now, a Zion pictorially is like a chopping device or a plowing device. And then the second one is a Kaf, and a Kaf is an open hand. And the last is a resh, the open hand of a man, the chop. Well, what does that mean? Well, you know, that brings to mind the idea that the hand of the Lord has a nail print in it. He has an imprint that we'll see for eternity. That's something I believe that will always be referenced to. When we see him, we'll recognize that he died for our sins. He suffered and died. That nail print in his hands, just like the apostles. Remember Thomas? He said, I'm not going to believe it until I actually put my finger in the opening. Well, we see that that is still going to be part of Jesus when we see him. And the word in Greek is menesko. And that's basically a word that means to test your knowledge or to remember. So what we're going to do is take a trip down memory lane. And I want to start off with the key points that we learned in each of the seven lessons that we've learned before. And lesson one, we're going to remember and talk a little bit about possible discussions you can have with your parents or even with other brothers and sisters that may be listening to this program. Remember I told you the story about how I was riding my bicycle and the chain fell off and I crashed into a car and how I survived? I'm wondering if you ever thought about, have you ever experienced something where you were almost injured severely or hurt, and yet, miraculously, nothing happened? You know, this is something you can start thinking about and seeing if that actually happened to you. So, you know, did Jesus ever rescue you from a potential injury or hurt? Remember, I also said that to remember when you're praying, to look at your fingers. Remember your thumb, it's pointing right at you. Something that's close to you, we need to pray for people close to us, like our moms and our dads, our brothers and our sisters, our relatives. So we think of that. And then the next finger is the pointing finger, and that's the ones that point us in a direction, our teachers, our pastors, the ones that point us in direction. We need to pray for those people. And then the longest finger, that's the tallest of all of them, the middle finger, that we need to pray for those that are and rule over us, like the president. We need to pray for him. We need to pray for our governor and our mayors. Okay, and then the next finger is the weakest finger. It's the ring finger. And that weak finger, we need to remember to pray for those that are weak, the homeless, the people that are really down and out. And then the last finger is the last time we should pray is to pray for ourselves, our little finger. We save our prayers for ourselves to the last. We pray for others first. We learned that in lesson one on April the 8th. And then lesson two on April the 15th, we talked about something about how we walk and talk with Jesus. And you remember what I was saying? Basically, our prayers should simply be this. Our prayers should simply be talking with God about things that are in our life. He wants to know every little thing that happens. I told you the story about how I was at 40 hours of devotion and I had to spend a whole hour praying. And I ran out of prayers after about 5-10 minutes. And then I just started talking about the things that I had planned to do. You see, God created us to be in fellowship with Him. He wants to know the things that were that concern us, the things that we're learning about. Okay, and remember when we also mentioned about the picture of the earth from the moon? Did you ever see that? How did that make you feel when you looked at how small the earth is, and yet that's our home? And do you remember what the astronauts said about the moon? Remember some of them actually cried when they saw the earth looking at it from the moon, and how some of them actually took communion on the moon? And we see that someone like John Glenn said that anyone that's looking at this and seeing the earth and doesn't believe in God has missed something very important in their life. And then we went on to lesson three, and that was on April 22nd. And we were talking about how important hugs are. And we talked about how important it is to hug your dad when he comes home from work, to hug your mom, and do this every day. It's important. And then I talked about something that we need to do, and that's keep a diary. Basically tell what was happening to us each day, because then you can look back on them and you can see how God was working in your life. And remember, we talked about the spiritual gifts that you have. Remember to discover your gift and then unwrap it. In other words, use it. And then remember, we talked about your mom, and your mom was called Strong Water. Remember the bull, symbol of strength, and then the mem, which is a symbol of water. Strong water was glue. Remember the mother is the glue of the family. And then the father, we see that bull again, that strong leader. And what is it a leader of? Well, it was looked like a G on its side. It was the home, the tent plan. So really we see that's another lesson for us to learn, to give lots of hugs, to keep a record of things that happen in your life. And then we had lesson four on April 29th. And one of the things we talked about was why it's important to honor your father and your mother. Remember, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You want a long life? You want a prosperous life? Honor your father and mother. Very important. Okay, and then we talked about your hand, how important your hand was and how it was unique. How you had an opposable thumb and you were able to do fine little movements like basically play a piano, but at the same time you could lift up a heavy axe and chop down a tree. And then we talked about two letters. One was the yud and the other was the kaf. The kaf is an open hand. And remember we talked about the open hand that God has to everyone. And the yud is once you come to God, He has a strong hand, a closed hand that can hold you in His sight. I use all kinds of references for that. And then on May the 6th, you heard Lesson 5. And in Lesson 5, we talked about the War of 1812 and how a miracle happened. The British had just burned Washington, and they were up at camp at the Capitol Hill, and all of a sudden, mysteriously, a tornado formed in the center of Washington, D.C. and went right into the British Army, throwing their cannons all about and killing many of them with the falling debris. We talked about this as a miracle. We also talked about the fact that we have to remember these things. And we remember the one of the things that happened that changed the Civil War. Remember, we were losing the Civil War, the North was, against the South until January 1st, 1863. And what happened was President Lincoln gave an Emancipation Proclamation. He freed all the black people, 4 million of them, from slavery. Well, you know what happened after that? Well, there was the Battle of Gettysburg, which the North won, and almost every battle after that they won. So you can see by turning to God and doing what He wants us to be doing, okay, it's important for us to remember that these are all from God. He's the one that actually determines who wins the battles and who wins the war. And then lesson six. In lesson six, we were talking about how we need to remember that we shouldn't go around vandalizing things. We talked about Robert E. Lee and his monument and how horrible it was with all the vandalism that occurred to that monument. Because you know what? He was a man that was godly. And we sometimes forget that. We forget the fact that people are complex. Remember David? David did a lot of sins, but David was a man after God's own heart. And yet we just remember the bad many times about of things that people did, but really we need to remember that they do good also. Remember, all of us have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we remember that. We need to remember that. And remember our motto that we have at Good Samaritan Ministries. When someone comes in and says, how are you feeling today? And they all say, blessed, highly favored, and shielded. We have to remember that. We're blessed, highly favored, and shielded by God. And our testimony is something that is complex, because sometimes we have leave a testimony of things we've done wrong, and sometimes we have things that we've done right. It's complex. We need to understand that. And then I gave an example in Lesson 7. That was done on May the 20th. And I talked about chipmunks, of all things, and how chipmunks are good stewards. Remember what they do? They go out and gather nuts and seeds, and they bring them into their home, and they make a huge pile that they sit on during the winter, and they gradually eat their way to the bottom. And I talked about how some are not really as careful as the chipmunks, like squirrels, where they bury their food and forget where they buried it. So we want to be good stewards of God's word. We want to be good stewards. And remember that mercy is also part of being a good steward. Remember, mercy triumphs over judgment in all things. So, and we also talked about we need a filter. And the filter is the word of God. So when we hear things and we have things happen to us, remember every time you have an experience with somebody, every time you have an event occur in your life, remember that is in Scripture. You can find it. You can find that example. All right. So that was our first seven lessons. We had a quick review. We went down memory lane and we were remembering the things that we've learned. And I hope you sometimes sit down and think about those things and you remember them. Now, I want to talk about something that we have as our keynote to every time we have a kid's canoe. We play the song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And you may wonder, why did I select that? Well, I selected that because there was something, one of the greatest events that I ever saw in America was a speech that Martin Luther King gave. It was called I Have a Dream speech. It was during the March on Washington. There were 250,000 people that were there at the Lincoln Memorial. And one of the things that happened, everybody remembers the speech, and I remember listening to it with my parents. And I remember it started off, however, with that song. A lady singer named Miriam Anderson sang, He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. And, you know, this is something that's really important because you never know how the things that your teachers give you, how important they'll be in your life. And one of the things that I remembered from this, when I remember the I Have a Dream, and where he says, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That meant a lot to me when I heard that. But you know, I had a teacher in the 12th grade. His name was Rodney Rooney, okay? And he was a POD teacher. It was a 12th grade class, and it was called Problems in Democratic Society. And one of the things that was neat about him is, you know what he did? I never had this happen in my whole life. He invited us to his house anytime we wanted to talk. Well, on Friday evenings, many times, in fact, at least a dozen times during my senior year, myself and my friends that were also in his class would go, and we'd sit and talk with him. And one of the things he taught me was about basically civil rights and about racism. And one of the things he had us all do in class was read a book. It was called Black Like Me. And it was about a white man who tanned his skin to look black. And he went through the South and experienced what the black people were experiencing. And he wrote about it. It was a tremendous book. It greatly changed my whole view on what I saw in America at that time. And, you know, some of the things that Martin Luther King said, I written down here. One of the things he prayed was, use me, God. Show me to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I could do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself, purpose of God. He also said, faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the whole staircase. And he also said something else. Oh, God, help us to walk together, to pray together, to sing together, and to live together until the day when God's children, black, white, red, and yellow, will all be one. So God still has a way of, you know, wringing good out of evil. History has proven many times this. And one of the ones that I remember really important that happened is, remember Joseph? Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. And one of the things that happened was his brothers were jealous of him. Remember, he got this coat of many colors, and they actually sold him into slavery. But, you know, at the end, when he finally reconciles with all his brothers, and they are standing before him, and he's the leader of Egypt, and he says this, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is to this day, to save the people." So, you know, there's a song, actually, that I'm going to play. And this song basically reminds us exactly of what Martin Luther King was saying when he said, basically, he hoped that his children could someday actually experience what he was dreaming about. And so we're going to take a look at that.
Jesus loves the little children. Children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world.
Well, this is exactly what Martin Luther King was talking about. You know, a day when all the children, whether they're black, yellow, white, or black, they would all be one together. And, you know, this was a dream that he had. And the song brings that out, and I hope you remember that. You know, actually, Martin Luther King was not liked by many people. In fact, the FBI, in fact, a man named J. Edgar Hoover, who was the head of the FBI at the time, he thought he was terrible, and he thought he was a notorious liar, and he even actually illegally bugged all of Martin Luther King's phones to find out if he could find anything wrong with him that he could bring out the people. And this happens a lot of times. In fact, one of the things that happens is too often character assassination has replaced debate in the principle in Washington, for example. Destroy someone's reputation, and that's all you have to do. That's not what we're about. We're about a debate. We don't want to have character assassinations. And we see this in Shakespeare. And remember, I mentioned this before, when he was talking about Julius Caesar and Mark Antony's speech, "Friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives on after, but the good is often interred with their bones." We forget about the good of people, okay? David, remember David? He was called a man after God's own heart. Do you know why he was called a man after God's own heart? Because he loved God's words. He loved and hid the word in his heart. He loved God's word all the time. He confessed his sins. He hated every false way. And he loved unity. This is one of the things that's important that we should always remember. And, you know, when I was in school at St. Clement's, once a month they would actually take us to another building, and it was only one window, and it was blacked out. And it's where we watched films. And I remember this film that we saw. It was a very unusual film. It was called The Boy with the Green Hair. And what had happened, this little boy's parents, they were in London during World War II, right when the Nazi Germans were bombing London, and a lot of buildings were being hit, a lot of people were dying, and this little boy's parents died in one of the bombings. And when he woke up after his parents had died, he had green hair. And everybody started to look at him and thought how strange he was with this green hair. And they started to ostracize him. They didn't want to be around him. They were criticizing him. They said, "You ought to dye it back to where maybe it could be black or blonde, but not green." Well, you know, one of the things that happened is finally he got so disgusted he shaved all his hair off. Well, you know, that was pointing up something that we see also in another little story, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember Rudolph with his nose so bright? Well, one of the things that happened there is they didn't want to play with him in the reindeer games. This is another example of people taking a look at whether it's green hair or a shiny nose or anything else. You know, God wants us to be who we are, not what others want us to be. And there's a story, and it's by Dr. Seuss. And I want to mention this story because it points up exactly what I'm talking about people being different and how we should accept their differences. And it was a story called Sneetches, and it was by Dr. Seuss. And how the story goes is there was a bunch of Sneetches. They were sort of like seabirds that lived on the shoreline, right on the beach. And the Sneetches, there was one group that had stars on their bellies, and the others did not. Well, the ones that had stars, the star-bellied Sneetches, they had fun. They were always laughing and singing and having games, and they would not let the non-starred Sneetches play with them or be part of their games. And so what happens is somebody comes to town. He's called Mr. Fix-It, and he's got this machine. And he talks to the people who were without stars, the Sneetches without stars, and he said, listen, for $5, I'll put a star on your belly. Well, they all line up, and they all get stars on their belly. So now the star-bellied Sneetches are looking, and they can't tell apart who was star-bellied and who was not. Well, then the Sneetches that originally had the stars, they go to Mr. Fix and says, we can't take this. We can't even tell who is the star-bellied and who is not. He says, I'll tell you what I'll do. For $5, I'll take off your stars. So they all line up and have their stars. Well, this goes on and on and on. And what ends up happening in the end is the Mr. Fix-It leaves town with all their money, and the Sneetches are so confused they do not know who the original star bellies were and who the ones that were non-star bellied. Well, this is exactly sort of what Satan does. He's sort of like the Mr. Fix-It. He brings things and causes hatred and causes people to distrust people that are not just the same as they are. And I want to play another song for you, and it really points up to something that I think is really important in our life. And what this important part is the fact that we really have to realize who we are in Jesus. And one of the things that we realize, we are really just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who has saved our soul. And this song that I'm going to play for you basically will bring that out and demonstrate for you exactly what this means. Okay, so listen up, and I'm going to start this song, and please listen to the words because they're really quite dramatic. So we're looking for the world to see nobody but Jesus. That's an important song, and we play that song in our choir. So there's something I want to bring up to you because there's something that's very important, and we've learned some memory verses so far. Remember, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and then we talked about how the fact we need to have courage with 1 Samuel 8 and talked about that. Well, here's a new memory verse, and this is really important because of what's going on in the world today. And this verse is from Genesis 1:27. I want you to learn this verse. It's very important. And here's the way it goes. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. We need to remember that. It's very important for us to remember God created man in his image. That means every person that we see, even if we don't like them, remember they were created also in God's image. And when we think about the fact that actually God chose whether we were to be a male or a female, Male and female, he created them. You know, when you look at Scripture and you read Genesis, in the first whole chapter, it's everything Jesus did, he says, it was good. You know, let there be light. He saw that. And he said, it's good. Then he said, let the land appear. And he said, it was good. He keeps saying it was good. It was good. And then finally, in the second chapter, he says something which is not good. And you know what he said? It's not good for a man to be alone. And that's something that we should really remember. We should also, we should try to have friends. A person that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. This is a scripture verse that we can remember. Now, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That was another quote from Martin Luther King. Now, you know, one of the things we have to be, I'm aware of as being someone who's 76 years old, is I have a lot of regrets. And you know what? I was looking up, what's the most common regret that people have? And you know what one of the top listed regret of people have is they didn't listen to their teachers. They didn't listen to their ministers. This is a big regret that they had. Okay, and one of the things that I remembered, and this is really plays a lot of attention to me, it's Proverbs 5, 11 to 14. It says, and thou will mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. You know, I noticed that my body is not what it used to be. I used to do a lot of things that I can no longer do. I would run 7 miles a day. I did that for about 40 years. I actually was able to dunk a basketball. I can't even jump but 3 inches off the ground now. So that verse goes on and says, these are his regrets, how I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and how I did not obey the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ears towards them that instructed me. This is a common regret that people have. So you need to pay attention to your teachers. You need to pay attention to your parents. You know, I remember my parents, I always listened to them for the most part. But when I got older, I started making my own decisions. And one of the things that happened was every time I made a decision that my parents said I shouldn't do that, it ended up in disaster. And so I wish I would have listened more to my parents. They were my primary teachers. In Proverbs 4:13, it says, always remember what you've learned. Your education is your life, so guard it well. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then it says in Proverbs 1:5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. And then in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So when we read the Bible, we should understand what we're reading is something that we need to remember. It was there for instructions to us. So, you know, when you're young, don't let your excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old. Life is not pleasant anymore. That's in Ecclesiastes 12:1. Let me read that again. Don't let your excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. So many times people, when they're young, forget the Creator. You know, it tends, we think we're going to live forever, ever, and we don't. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things I learned in life is a lot of my friends died very young, and I'll tell you about that next time. If children or listeners have any question about today's message, you can contact me, Glenn Swiston, at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net. That's my email address at luvh2062@comcast.net. Now, if you don't have access to a computer, you can call me at 443-928-8548. That's 443-928-8548. Now, you may be wondering, all the information that you've received from this message, I have backed up with slides. And if you really would like to have the slides also, you can contact me at my email address, luvh2062@comcast.net, and I will send you all the slides that I used in today's presentation.